Thank you, gentlemen. Well, as we talk about the parables of the kingdom, one of the most obvious enemies to interpretation is the fact that we know the story. We've heard it before. The kingdom is like seed planted in the ground. It's like this mustard seed that was planted. Oh, yeah, that's a nice story. I know that. And so we're so familiar with it that we seem to ignore its meanings. The kingdom of heaven comes to people in different ways, and it examines our hearts and our minds. The kingdom of God finds some people that catch on to it very quickly, and then in time fall away, as Jesus said in another parable. Or in time realize that it doesn't seem to be working for them. Or it's promised things they believe that they haven't received. Or other people have gotten the vision and they're going for it. It's making a difference in their lives, in their communities, all together. I think perhaps one of the ways to see this parable and some of the early parables is just to ask the question, is Jesus for real? Or is he a scam? Now, you know what I mean by a scam. I'm talking about something that's deceitful, something that's dishonest, someone that's not telling the truth. And Jesus made a lot of claims. He invited everyone to come to him. And he said so many wonderful things, you have to ask the question, is this man for real? Or is he trying to scam us? Well, I thought it'd be good to have a rather long introduction as we start this series on the kingdom parables, to think about this idea of whether or not the kingdom is a scam, but talking a little bit about scams. Now, let me just ask you, if you've ever been scammed, don't anybody raise their hand, but scams come in multiple ways. It's not just people knocking on your front door wanting to repair your roof or somebody calling to give you a vacation if only you'll pay the tax. Maybe some of you have gotten some of these email notices, I don't think I'm the only one, from somebody in Nigeria that can't get their $21 million out and they want your help. You've gotten those kind of emails, haven't you? Well, or maybe you've won the lottery in England and all they need for you to do is pay the tax up front before you get your lottery winnings. Surely nobody has fallen for that, have you? Well, we've probably gotten those things. And I admit, there's some scams that are a little bit, you know, you just wonder, can this be true? Like the one, I have to admit, I've tried this one. Lose weight while you sleep. Now, I know every pharmacist in here is going to chuckle, but, you know, it follows up by saying, don't change your diet, no exercise, guaranteed to work. You know, it did make me lighter, but only in the pocketbook. People make incredible claims about their products, about their companies, don't they? So why is it that we listen to those kind of things? Some of it is because we're desperate, or we want to believe them, and that's what a scammer knows. He knows what you want, and so he perceives to speak your mindset and wants to speak to your heart, what you desire. Isn't that right? Well, I'd like to speak a little bit more personal type of ways than just this. I want us to try to get a mindset of this. You know, I'm told that a lot of people were really happy with some of their investments for years because somebody in New York had promised them that they could get more gains than anybody else was ever given. If only they would send their business to Barney. You know who I'm talking about, Barney Madoff. Just send your business to him, and so people did. He could consistently make a guaranteed income of something like 15%, where other people could only get you, I don't know, maybe 5 to 10%. And so people began to refer their friends to them, and they were real happy with it because he invested in what they thought were solid companies. He would send out an investment sheet every month for them to see. Only they didn't know their monies weren't invested in those companies. They were invested in him personally. And so for a number of years, Barney Madoff was a jewel of people sending him not just thousands or even millions, but billions of dollars. Other investment advisors sent him money, recommended him. Governments from around the world sent him money. And now we know for the tune of $50 billion, Barney Madoff is one of history's greatest scammers. And people have lost a lot of money. I'm touched by a rabbi's daughter who said her father, the rabbi, had worked hard all of his life, saving his money, investing with what he thought was a safe and secure investment with Barney. And so his widow could live. And now that he's died and all of the funds were invested with Barney Madoff, she's having to sell her home. She's having to move in with her kids. All of the dreams that they'd hope are gone. Why? Because they've been scammed. Well, there's probably many stories that we could tell like that. But I want to go to another level of closeness scam. I've kind of alluded to some of them. But I think some of the scams that we get involved in are really legitimate business. Some of them are. But we sometimes operate as if they were a scam because it's our perceptions of how they operate. Now, I've always avoided all kinds of schemes and selling things down through the years in history. I've always said, if I'm going to be preaching the gospel full time, I don't want to approach Dan and Lori saying, I got something here I'm doing on the side. I'm going to sell you something. I just don't want that. Don't worry, Dan. I'm not coming to say anything. I think it was when we were in Peoria, Illinois, one of our elders got involved with something. He said, Denmans, I want y'all to listen to this. Oh, this is one of the greatest things in the world. You're going to make some money. Now, I got in it because I need to retire, and I'm not getting enough retirement, and I know preachers don't get a lot of retirements. I said, stop right there. I'm not getting involved. But Elaine can get involved if she wants to. And so she did. She got involved with this company called The American Way. You know what I'm talking about. Amway. And you learn to draw these circles, and you invite people to your house, and you tell them about how you buy products from your company. And I think Elaine got about six people in there before she decided this wasn't for her, because she had to be there on certain days for deliveries, and it cut down her travel time. And believe me, if you want to cut down on Elaine's travel time, she's out of a company. So she didn't stay in very long, but we got some of those Amway tapes we were listening to. Now, what interested me is I went to several of their conventions, and I'm not putting down Amway, and I'm not saying that it's a scam at all. Not at all. Listen to me very well. But the elder and Elaine and maybe a few others went to some of these conventions, and they would have people up there in front talking about how you can get rich. And the people that were up there were the people that had big houses, boats, nice cars, retirement, and they were talking about how you can make this too. And I'm thinking, why does it say on their website, the results of your investment may differ, and this is not typical? You know why they're saying that? Because they're required to say most people do not have the mansions and do not have the boats, and most people do not go. I think of the six people you got involved with Amway, nobody did anything, did they? Now, the elder friend of mine went way up. He got a lawyer in it and several teachers and got way up in Amway and then dropped it. Why? Because they wanted to travel too in their retirement time, and they didn't want to get stuck with that. So, frankly, I was very glad. That was Max Mays. You know Max, very good-hearted man, and I was delighted. Now, I'm going to say this. If you want to get involved with Amway and you come to me, I'm going to say, God bless you. Have a wonderful time. I hope you do well, and I think if you work it hard, you can make some money, maybe. But in the meantime, what kind of products have you got? And that type of thing. I may buy some products off of you. But I have to make a confession. I did get involved with one company like this one time. After Peoria, I got involved with, I had a problem with my throat. It never could clear up. I had vocal cord nodules. I was very worried about my future. So we moved to Memphis and started getting disability, actually, by the fourth month, which wasn't a real lot. And I knew I was going to have to do something. Either we were going to have to move or something. But Elaine got a job at part-time counseling, and I sold computers at Sears. That's right, sold computers at Sears, an honest job. And really enjoyed it. It was quite different. Picked up a little church on the side that I worked with, and they seemed to like me, and we liked them, so we worked together. And then I had some friends that said, you need to make some extra money, Daryl. Yeah, I sure do. And we got this company called XL Communications. I said, okay, that's the phone company. I believe that's good. People need cheap phone service. How much does it cost to join? I said, okay, it's going to cost me something like $200 to join, and next thing you know, you're going to meetings. I got a couple of people involved, and I'm going to these meetings, and I'm thinking, this is good. Now, they got the people up front, too, that are talking about how much money they've made, kind of like the Amway business. And I thought, okay, this is good. But then, hadn't gotten even started before Jerry Jones, a very personal friend of ours, came. Now, Jerry and Lynn were here doing the marriage seminar. Jerry came and sat down with both Elaine and myself. He said, look, you're good friends of ours, and I've got something I want to get you involved with because I want preachers to be able to retire someday. I know you don't have a lot of retirement income, and I know right now, I said, Jerry, whatever it is, I've already started doing this XL communication. I got a job. I can't handle anything else. He said, it only costs you $25. $25. He said, I'm wanting to do it because you and Elaine deserve something better than what you got. I said, take my wife, please. And you know what? He said, okay, is she worth $25 to join this thing? And it was a telecommunications company, very much like XL. I said, we're going to be competitors now. We're going to see who's going to win. And she said, you know, I would do that for $25. And he said, this new company started out. It's called ATI. And everybody buys $25 worth of phone business, phone card, or change your phone over. I said, okay, that's fine. Everybody does that. He said, we're going to have one of the first meetings in this area in your home. And I want you to invite people and have them invite people. And we're going to start this thing up. And we're going to make some money in this. And I thought, okay, I've heard all that before. But okay, Elaine's in it. I'm not. Well, we had our first meeting in our home. And other people were having meetings when this company started up. And a few people came. And a few people signed up. I think we probably had 13, 14 people that company. What I didn't realize is that as we were going on, people began to talk about this. But the next time we had another meeting, I think by the end of the first month, there was something, I know, I need to go and hurry. I don't want to get too involved here. But by the second month with this, there was like 200 people in this. I said, oh my goodness, this is incredible. And you know, they're going to pay you through 9 levels. But what they didn't say is you're going to get rich. What they said is we're going to teach you how to get free phone service. Okay, that works. That's the plan. That's the vision. Everybody's going to get free phone service. You're going to get 3 people. They're going to get 3 people, and then your phone service is paid for. I said, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. But I didn't get in this for free phone service. I got in this to make some money. Or at least Elaine got in it to make some money. I didn't get in it, you understand. I was doing Excel. But by the third month, we had something like $500, and our first check was over $500. I thought, you know, this thing just may work. I was beginning to get excited. I said, Jerry, can I get in? They said, nope, but Elaine can get in. She's doing just fine. No, you can get in, Daryl. So I got in, paid $25. And no sooner I'd gotten in, started working, getting excited, getting the vision of this. You know, we were having a meeting in our house every week, and we were telling people about how to get your phone service for free. Some attorney general up in a northern state said, you can't do this because this is not legal. This is a pyramid. And you don't have any plan for getting customers in there. You've got to have not just distributors, which were distributor customers, but you've got to have a plan for somebody that doesn't even want to do this business, just wants their phone service. So we changed the plan. The plan changed, and there were some people got really angry. It was simple, but now you actually got to do more work. You've got to talk to people about not just getting free phone service, but about getting a cheaper service. And I remember there were some people that started to get really angry, the company changing plans. And then some of the phone cards didn't work, and people started complaining about the product. And then I could see that we got at a level, and we started going backwards. And I thought, oh my goodness. And we kept trying to do meetings. I kept enrolling people. But I learned through that there were some people that didn't have the vision. There's some people that didn't want free phone service. There was a few people that wanted to know why this wasn't working for them, but they weren't working. They weren't bringing people to meetings and so forth. So you kind of get this feeling in your side that it may be a legitimate company, but is it going to work for you? Well, I believed. Jerry believed. Other people believed. I remember a lady from the church calling up one time and saying, Daryl, I'd like to know the truth. I need a job, and I can take a job over here for $10 an hour, which was a pretty good pay. Or I can go after this full time. If I did this full time, could you tell me that I could support my family in a good way? And I realized that was the moment of decision. Could I tell this lady she could do this full time? And I said, if I were you, I'd take the job. And I realized at that moment, I no longer had the vision for this company. It was going backwards. Well, long story short, we moved to Virginia Beach. I went back into preaching. Now, if I'd been involved in preaching, I would not have done that. Elaine could have done it, but I wouldn't have done it. When I left to go to Virginia Beach, this company had changed so much, and the plan had changed so many times, that I was making $50 a month. I was thankful for that money, and I'm going to tell you, when I filed my taxes that year, we made $5,000. So I have to say thank you for that opportunity, for that company. But it didn't give me the vision of either free phone service or making myself supportive. But what I found out along the way is that people had different attitudes. People got in and expected something for nothing. Or people said, well, we want free phone service, but they didn't want to work for it. Or maybe somebody wanted to go full time at it, but they couldn't make it happen without others happening. And the company's changing. Okay, long story, a little short here. When we get to this parable here, Jesus is talking about a kingdom that has exciting growth. And people are coming into it. You got some of these guys like Peter, James, and John, and they found a kingdom like never before. And they're going back and saying to people, look, we found the Messiah. We found the Messiah. And they're bringing other people in, and people are wondering, is this really the Messiah? Can it happen? And they're seeing Jesus heal people. And then they're hearing others, and they're bringing other people in. And Jesus is saying that's what the kingdom is like. It's growing like that seed that's planted, and you're not really sure how it's growing. Now, I brought that other up because even though I didn't think it was a scam, it was very close to it, because people's ideals and perceptions about it is this going to work for us? Is this going to work for us? Are we going to be able, in my case, supply an income that would supplement the part-time income? Or is it going to give us free phone service? Or is it something we can sign up and get some money out of it and not do any work at all? Or, as one person said, is my vision something that if I went after this full time, could it work for me? So if we came with all those different perspectives, what I'm suggesting to you is that maybe the company provided something, and maybe some of the images were, you could do this, or you could do this, or you could do this, but what was the image that the company was trying to project? What was their mission? And that's the question that I'm asking here with Jesus and the growth of this kingdom. You see, I think people came to it and said, man, this is a wonderful thing. What can it do for me? Can it give me a platform of being a power broker? In other words, could we be one or two in this kingdom? You got any disciples that said that? Could we be one or two? Could we find ourselves a job? Could we find ourselves a place? I think there's people that came into this kingdom that had no idea what it was about. Next thing you know, Jesus is inviting or talking to someone who is a Samaritan. And he's talking about Samaritans. And they're thinking, what in the world have we gotten into? And I think there's some people that came to Jesus, and because the leaders want to know what's happening, they're not willing to come by Jesus. They say, man, I'm not getting involved in one of those things. But let's go and talk to him at night. Let's say, okay, are you really the Messiah or somebody else? And Jesus says to them, look, you need to be born again. Nicodemus, you, every one of you. And if you're not born again from the water and the Spirit, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. You see all this comparison that I'm trying to make? Is Jesus really going to give us what we want? I think of the occasions where Jesus had thousands of people that followed him, 5,000 or 6,000. And you remember, they turned back from following him. They saw that he had done a miracle, created of loaves and fishes and fed multitudes. And they said, let's have this bread always. This is wonderful. But Jesus withdrew when they tried to make him king. So when Jesus talks to you about your spiritual need, you must be born again. You need the love of God and the forgiveness of God. You and some of the other people around the world. Is it a scam because it is our perceptions of what the kingdom should be for us and what we should do? Well, we're going to talk about that as we go through this series, but I want to bring you back to this scripture now. Jesus said the kingdom is like seed planted on the ground. And I'm thinking the fellow that wrote that is a guy by the name of Mark. And Mark became a disciple, I think, when the church was very exciting. If you read the pages of Acts, when the church was very excited, it grew very quickly. I think there's some times when someone like Mark grew either disenchanted with the kingdom or said, this is not for me, it's very difficult work, it's hard work. He went out on one of the missionary journeys with the apostle Paul, remember? And Paul said, this Mark is not going to cut it. I am not going to have him here. And there was another fellow that said, I'll take him, Barnabas. I'll take him and I will encourage him. Maybe his perceptions of the kingdom aren't what they should be, but I will work with Mark. And I think Mark had to be looking back at his perceptions of the kingdom as he was disappointed. Maybe with the fact that out on the mission field, the church is having to work very hard is not the same as being in the comforts of Jerusalem with everything exciting and spiritual gifts out on the mission field. It's a lot harder. It's a lot harder when you got a smaller group of people and your perception about the way the kingdom was going to work for you, Mark, just wasn't the way it was turning out. For whatever reason, Barnabas, son of encouragement, took you aside and gave you a new vision of the kingdom. I can't help but wonder, there's a lot of people that get married with a vision of what marriage is going to be like, and then the vision changes. The vision changes because your perceptions of marriage, your perceptions of your partner change, and you're teetering on that relationship in your marriage. You come to a church and you're all excited about it. Before long, you find out the church work is hard, so it's better to let somebody else do it. You'll do the complaining if you don't like it. Or maybe you'll get involved, but not too much. Or I'm certainly not going to get involved too much. What I'm suggesting to you is that our perceptions meet the kingdom of God, and Jesus is constantly asking us to refine our perceptions. He looks into our heart. It's not about us, is it? It's about Him. You, be born again. You, accept these Samaritans. Accept this person. And if the experts come and say, look, we're right up there. We should be number one. We should be number two. But wait a minute. These experts are saying, we go to church. We give 10%. We do this and we do that. Jesus, and that's not the way our kingdom is doing. The kingdom and my mission and my vision is, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the one that gets you. That's the one that the Lord wants. So all this idea of the kingdom, we come to see that as we follow Jesus, as more and more people get into it, it's not the vision that we had. And Jesus wants to constantly take us to a higher level. And I think that's what this parable is talking about. When the seed is thrown, we don't really understand how it's going to grow. And so it gets into people's hearts at a different level. Maybe it starts to grow for a while. And like here, it starts from just a little mustard seed, just a small amount, but then it starts to grow. And the possibility has, if you don't get discouraged, you don't get sidetracked, you don't get bored with it, you don't think that it's all about you. If you'll stay with Jesus, you may come to those moments in life where you're disappointed. You've lost the vision. But someone along the way helps you to see that Jesus wants to take you to another level, another involvement, to renew the vision. And then you're like that seed that comes up. You're not really sure how it goes, and you're not sure why a small little mustard seed can grow so big. But the possibilities are there for your life. You believe that? You might say, well, you know, I never thought that the kingdom could mean so much to me. It does, if you will allow Jesus to define your mission. Otherwise, you may feel that you, too, have been scammed. That Jesus is letting on that somehow this kingdom would do something for you that you wouldn't participate in or wouldn't be required. Or maybe you could have your present attitudes and not change at all. Or maybe you could get in by simply doing something like getting baptized and taking communion every day, but He gives you talents and abilities and people to work with. And you thought, well, maybe that's the level that I'm at. And you think, you know, is this Jesus really scamming me? Is He? Well, that's something we're going to have to ask. Or is He the genuine, real deal? Because if He's the genuine, real deal, and He speaks on behalf of God like no other, then we need to set our heart to listen to Him. What is His mission? What is His desire for your life? Now, there's many times that my life has had to be reset. My priorities have had to be reset. My relationships have had to be reset. And so can yours. It's not that Jesus has scammed me. It's just that I've come in with a different vision than He has. And He says, Daryl, that's all right. You're loved. You're forgiven. Now let's go to the next level. This kingdom is not going to go out of business. This kingdom is around and it's available with power. And if you're sticking with it, the faith that you have, though it's as small as a mustard seed, can grow so big that the birds of the heaven can come and set in it. And you will be amazed at what God can do in your life, like He's done in the lives of people like Peter and Paul and Mark. What about it? We sing the invitation to Him. You want to respond? You got the faith of a mustard seed? Jesus says, come.